Hey, podcasters, welcome to another edition of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. We got some hot topics going on right now. Jill and I can't quit talking about it, which is, that's why we're recording right now, just so you know where. Yes, Jill is here from the gray size of Chicago still. Partly cloudy, mid the fair today. I'm sure you guys all love the weather forecast that we put out every time we do a podcast. All right, hey, let's hop right into it. An autonomous bus had an accident on its maiden voyage in Las Vegas. And what's great about this is there's two pieces here. Jill's got a lot to say on this, as you might would imagine. And we have a journalist that joined us who was on the bus. He was on the bus when it actually had the accident. I'm going to play that. I'm going to have to make a little pause. I'll insert it. It'll sound a little different, but that's okay. You'll like it. It's a little interesting that a Thomas vehicle would get in a crash, but it kind of got bumped. It wasn't a big crash, but it's because autonomous vehicles are naturally really cautious and really safe, and they don't have a lot of play or room to move around and anticipate human error, really. I mean, they're following the rules exactly, and that's what we've been finding. But Jill had an experience in a Ford Fusion that really made her happy.
Because I think by now everybody has gotten the sense that I'm not a terribly patient person. And so I think it was last summer that we were, in Dearborn for, it was like they used to do a Further with Ford program. I don't know if they're still doing it and I'm just not invited or if they're not doing it anymore, but, I was there, had the opportunity to sit in the backseat of an autonomous Ford Fusion while it was kind of doing a little loop around the Ford campus in Dearborn. And it was, what was really interesting to me is that the vehicle was overly cautious and overly slow. So even though maybe this autonomous bus that crashed or was crashed into, as the case may be, wasn't the bus's fault, like I kind of say that it was the bus's fault. Because here's the thing. When we would come up to a crosswalk, the Fusion in its peripheral vision would see somebody who's maybe about ready to walk into a crosswalk, and it would just stop. The person hadn't gotten into the crosswalk yet. It would just stop. And then it would wait until the person completely exited the crosswalk before it would go. And if somebody else looked like they were getting ready to come into the crosswalk before it started moving, it would stay there. So like we probably sat at one intersection or one little crosswalk for like 5 minutes waiting for people who may or may not cross. And then cross. And so it was just one of those things where I was like, come on, you gotta go, you know, chop, chop. Because, you know, it was like so methodical and so cautious. I could see how the human driver who was behind me, like I was really surprised that nobody honked at us because we literally sat there for like 5 minutes. And, you know, human drivers are just not that patient or that cautious. And I don't know. I think that there needs to be some mix of the human emotion and human impatience, as it were, added into some of these autonomous vehicles so that we can coexist. Otherwise, we are not going to be able to coexist. We will not be able to live together. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be pretty.
I think that's the biggest story, though, from that, is that you either have to have all or nothing right now, the way it feels like. You either have to legislate that nobody can have a car. Which is, so I didn't want to make the podcast about this, but it really is an interesting issue. And timing, Bob Lutz just wrote an article that I think Jill's probably seen, and I know I've read it. It said that the end of kind of the automotive world as we know it is coming. And yeah. Bob Lutz makes the point that human drivers will not have cars in 10, 15 years. You won't be able to drive your own car. The magazines like Car and Driver on Track will go under. They won't exist anymore. We will all get into these shuttles or capsules on wheels, and we will ride to places. And that you will not be allowed to drive your car on the streets. And so there's a couple of pieces to that. Number one is that he makes a really good point that 90% of all accidents are caused by human error. And when you think about from that standpoint, the only thing you can do is take away all the human drivers. You know, right. If you're going to do all autonomous, you have to go all in. And so if they're going to legislate for autonomous vehicles, there's going to be a lot of accidents. And there has been. So far in testing autonomous vehicles, there's been a ton of accidents. And it's all human error. And it's because we have developed this code throughout the country of driving. that we all bend the same rules. We all do things about the same, which is not by the book. And so autonomous vehicles drive by the book. And so it creates these issues. And so Bob Lutz makes the argument that if you want autonomous cars and everybody wants to be autonomous cars, you want everything to be safe, then we all should get these capsules on wheels. And that's the future.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what's really interesting is, you know, I was going to write an article a few months ago about autonomous cars, but I was having a hard time finding like a good angle that like people haven't written to death. But through the course of doing research for this, I had some really interesting conversations with Ed Kim at Auto Pacifica. And we were talking about just this thing where, you know, he foresees a day where autonomous cars are it. And you, as a human, if you want to drive a car, you'll have to join like a racetrack or a club where you can physically drive. And he was like, you know, it's kind of like a modern day gun range, if you will, where today, you know, gun owners, if you want to go shoot a gun, you've got to go to a range to shoot a gun. You should go to a range to shoot a gun. Let's put it out that way. And you know, if you want to do target practice or whatever, and he's like, you know, I can foresee a day where cars are banned from the streets and people put them in an autonomous pod or they'll store them at a racetrack or, you know, whatever, where they can go and drive. And I find that interesting because I have you ever been to or seen, country club racetracks? Do you know what I'm talking about?
You know, I have not, but you do a mama event at one. Yeah, and so you know more than I do.
Yeah, so like the Audubon Country Club in Joliet, Illinois is a really great example of what I'm talking about. And it's this 4-mile track, and it's separated into two circuits. And you can connect it all into a 4-mile track, or you can connect it into, you know, separate it out into like two-mile tracks or whatever. And it's a members-only club. You pay an initiation fee, and I can't remember what that is, so I won't say it off the top of my head, but it's like thousands of dollars to, you know, pay the initiation fee. And then you pay like a membership fee every year. And some people will store their vehicles on the track. So they will, you know, they have garages, or as they like to call them, they have garage mahals, where they have, you know, they garage their cars. They will then, you know, store them there or truck them there. But then, you know, they have like business centers there at the track. So, you know, these are men who, and maybe a few women. I've only met the men owners, but I've only seen male owners. But I'm sure there are some women there. But and if they're not, there should be. Right? So, you know, these owners, like, they're business people, but they like to drive. So what they'll do is they've set up business centers in their garage mahals. They'll go and like drive a couple of hours, and they'll go back to their business centers and, you know, get some calls done, work, and, you know, then maybe go out and drive some more. But, it's fascinating. So it's this members only club where you bring your cars and you can drive on the track, and, you know, they have sessions and, you can store your cars. But so at any rate, the point is, that is where, you know, when Ed Kim and I were talking, that's kind of where we were seeing the future of driving cars, is on the private country club tracks rather than out on the streets. And that kind of hurts my soul. I, you know, even in traffic, like, and Ed would disagree with me. He's like, man, I live in LA. He's like, if I could just have an autonomous car that would take care of my commute, I'd be so happy. And I wouldn't. That would just, like, I think that's soulless, and that's what a bus is. Go take the bus, Ed. That's what I want to say to that. Go take the bus.
There's your message today. Jill says, go take the damn bus.
If you don't want to drive, take the bus.
I guess one of the things I think about, and this is probably, I have a different perspective because I have a foot in the new car world, and I've been doing a lot of like classic car stuff, so classic truck stuff. So I have a foot in both realms. What I wonder about is, what happens to the classic car owners of the U.S.? Like, there is an enormous economy of people out there who spend millions of dollars, even maybe billions of dollars every year, restoring classic cars and driving classic cars. You're not going to take a 62 Chevy truck to the track and drive around the track. Well, you shouldn't. You could, But that's not the point of that. So what I'm wondering is, I wonder if you ban all people from driving, what happens to those classic cars? What happens to that economy? Does that economy completely go away? Are we going to spend money on other stuff? I don't know. I mean, where do those owners go? Are they gonna, we're gonna have private clubs to drive your classic truck around? I don't think that's gonna work.
Well, then how do you get your classic truck to these private clubs? Because I mean, that's a whole other layer of expense. Do you have to buy a tractor trailer that's an autonomous tractor trailer just to schlep your car that could be easily driven, from point A to point B? I don't know. I mean, maybe all these cars go into museums. Maybe they're private collections. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. I think a couple of things is that, new cars, majority of America doesn't buy new cars. Majority of America buy used cars. Right. Mm-hmm. And so used cars last about 7 years. You buy a new one, you keep doing it. Right. So, somebody to end up with a 2017 Audi 8 that drives itself in traffic, a 2018 Audi 8, that person will probably buy that used car in 7 to 10 years from now. So they're going to buy it in 2028 as a 10-year-old used model. So you can't legislate that today. You can't say in 2030. You can't say in 2040. You got to talk in terms like 2050, 2060. And then you are taking away the right to drive from people, and you're taking away the right to drive whatever they want, the right to build stuff. We have a friend, Brian, I'm going to probably say his name wrong, Loans, who does Put Up or Shut Up. He does NHRA stuff. I don't know if you know Brian. That whole segment of NHRA is built on building it as fast as you want and doing all this cool stuff with it. I think that energy goes away when you're riding around in a pod. I don't think you have the same desire to modify something if you're just going to be carted around.
No, but I mean, you would modify it in different ways. I don't know. I agree. That's a good question. I love classic cars. I love going to the classic car shows. I'm not somebody who would restore a vehicle, but I think they're pretty.
Do you just look at them? Do they just, they have no engines anymore? You can't drive them. You just push them around. And I don't. That's the one thing that nobody's really talked about, I think, in autonomous vehicles that I've seen, is everybody's talking about how cool they are, right? Mm-hmm. But nobody's talking about what happens when they go full scale. What happens to the classic vehicles? What happens to that? I don't know. I think that, there we go. I will write a story up on that sometime in the future when my to-do list doesn't look like a freaking nightmare. We do have to move on. We're probably beating this dead horse. I wanted to bring up two different things. We have a great interview with Billy Hayes from Nissan. Yes. Say hey, Billy Hayes. Did you get that reference at all either? No.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a Major League reference. It's the movie with Charlie Sheen back in the. Yeah.
My husband would get that reference, but yeah. Say hey, I got that.
Billy. Yeah. So, anyways, it's a great reference. Email me if you got it. Like the show. Whatever you want to do. I said that to somebody else, and they were like totally lost, and I was gonna have to get the Netflix code for that. We have Billy Hayes in the interview. I hope you liked and caught the nuts and bolts. We did one with a Hyundai.
Hyundai.
I'm working on that. We had a whole podcast now. I couldn't say that. We do have a fun one, and I'm going to try to get it out. It's where I mispronounce everything. That's coming at some point. I'm really busy today. And we have another one on a Acura, not a Honda, but an Acura MDX. I'll put that on next week. You need to hear that. We have some more nuts and bolts. Please let us know if you like that or not. We're experimenting. We're trying new things. We're trying to keep your interest level. I know it kind of rambles on. Let's get the two news items, and then we'll get to the Billy Hayes interview. I want to get to news item about the Cadillac Escalade. This is hilarious to me. As people may have seen, if you're a car nut, the new Lincoln Navigator is coming out. They've been doing some early first drives of it. People have been driving it around. They freaking love it. It's all redesigned. It's a dazzling full size SUV. It can get really expensive. I saw one that was like $107,000 for this big SUV. Yeah. So GM and I love GM. Like their PR people they never really say anything about the other company. They're always about them, kind of stuff. They kind of keep it, they're okay. But on the side of it, they're always kind of poking forward a little bit. And I love this about what they're doing. they are offering a $5,000 discount on the 2018 Escalade to any buyer trading in a 1999 or newer Lincoln model. It's a nationwide deal. So if you bring your Lincoln Navigator to a GM dealership, they'll give you $5,000 off to take that vehicle in. I'm sorry, but that's hilarious. And I've never seen anybody else do it. And I think that's fantastic. So kudos to GM. Keep fighting the fight. Because I got to tell you what, I drove the 17 Escalade. And I'll say it, I was mightily disappointed. I have always heard how the Escalade was so amazing. And I drove the 17 and I was not impressed at all. Maybe we'll get into that later because Jill's shaking her head either. She doesn't like it either. So.
No.
Let's move on to Sunday. Hyundai Sunday. this is kind of a story, non-story. The story is in automotive news. They're mulling more crossover and pickup output at U.S. plants. So basically, they have one U.S. plant, right? And sales have been sucking because all they've been making is a bunch of cars, and nobody wants cars. So they're considering building the Tucson and their new Kona. Is that how you're saying that?
I'm saying Kona.
Kona's a new crossover. We expect to see that in L.A. The Tucson, they're expecting to pump up that production and a planned pickup at the Seoul U.S. Factory. This planned pickup is going to be the Santa Cruz concept. We've known that for a while. What's interesting was that their sales were tanking and the previous CEO of the American overseeing company talks about he wants to bring the pickup up. He gets fired. A new guy comes in, and they're talking about building the pickup. It's like, why did you fire the last guy? What are you guys doing? So it's gonna. The plant is in Alabama, and they're talking by 2021 they're gonna bring the pickup up. This is the plant currently builds the Sonata and Elantra, hey, the Santa Fe crossover. No, I'm not gonna get a look for Jill. I gave her the thumbs up. She did not give me the thumbs up back. All right, so. The pickup is going to be it's just fascinating. I don't know. We could do a whole podcast on it. I don't know if it's going to sell, but what I can tell you, it's a unibody pickup. They're talking about making it total unibody. They're talking about making a compact pickup, like it used to be the old compact pickup. So it's not going to be so tall.
It'll be an urban pickup truck.
It's going to be an urban pickup truck. I theorize that it's going to be a great farmer pickup truck too, because out here we have to move water pipes quite a bit and you need access to the bed. This will have a great access to the bed. It's going to be interesting. It's not going to be a huge seller. I don't think because the truck market is so competitive, but it's something that they've needed to do for a while. Every automaker needs a truck. That's the story. They all need a truck. You have to have trucks. Trucks are awesome. So yeah. So, it's going to be interesting. I'm very curious in those news, items. I'm really curious to see how much Escalade sales go up. And I'm curious to see when the truck comes out. So that's all I have for that. Do you want to talk to us about the Billy Hayes?
Yeah. So I did a Nissan drive this past weekend. My husband and I drove down to Nashville, and Nissan wanted to kind of showcase the pickup truck, and it's both work capable but fun accents and features. And so the whole idea was hashtag Titan tailgate. And so we drove down to Nashville, and they invited us to a football game, and we tailgated, and then we went and watched the football game, and then we drove back to Chicago. So it was kind of a fun weekend. There may or may not have been some axe throwing somewhere in there. Maybe. But it was really interesting. And so it was, what, from Chicago down, I want to say it was like 600 miles. And then, you know, back. So it was a long drive. We spent a lot of time, and we were in the V8 gasoline version of the Titan with the King Cab. And, you know, it was really comfortable. So my husband took the first shift, and he was like, yeah, I'm good. And I said, well, do you want me to drive? No. So, like, we stopped, like, after 3 hours. I'm like, do you want me to drive? No. 3 more hours, do you want me to drive? Nope. And I'm like, really? Come on. I kind of need to drive here. And he was like, yeah, I'm good. And I was like, all right. So he found it really comfortable. It was a little bit big for me. So when I finally did manage to wrest the wheel from him, you know, the seat bottoms were a little bit big, and so it wasn't as comfortable for me, but for a 5'8 male, it was very comfortable. But so at any rate, so we drove down, they showed us the Titan box where you could put ice and sodas or beer. They had like the truck bed down, and there's some other really unique features, and Billy and I kind of talk about it in the interview.
All right, and let's play that right now. We're going to come back. I have one more question for Jill, and we'll be right back with more. Pickup Truck Plus, SUV Talk.
All right, today we are here in Nashville, and we are with Billy Hayes, and we are sitting in the parking lot of the Nissan Stadium, and we are sitting actually in the front seat of a Titan, and we're tailgating. We're tailgating in a Titan at Nissan Stadium before we go to a Titans game. And so Billy is you know, kind of a bigwig with the trucks with Nissan. Can you tell us what your exact title is?
Sure. I don't know if I'm so much of a bigwig, but I'm responsible for trucks and commercial vehicles. I'm also responsible for sales of all vehicles across half of the United States for Nissan.
Okay, and so so he knows a lot about the Titan, he knows a lot about trucks, and he's going to tell us why this is the perfect vehicle to be tailgating in.
It is an awesome vehicle to be tailgating in. We'll start with the Titan boxes, which you can see out there, right there. They've got the cold drinks in them, they can double as a cooler, they're watertight, they're drainable. So that's the first thing. Second thing is the 120-volt power in the truck, both in-cabin and in the bed. Great for coffee makers, big screen TVs, margarita machines, you name it. They're good for it. And they're in the bed and in the cabin. Next is the bed step, which you saw Wendy get up into.
Yeah
very convenient.
And Wendy is about my height. Yeah. She's a couple inches taller for frame of reference. And yeah, so somebody short can actually climb into the bed of the truck very easily.
Yeah. The other thing too is these innovative cup holders too. You can see they're big. They can handle some big beers or big mugs or whatever you want to put in them, both in the cab and in the bed. Then you've got LED bed light railing too, which creates a nice ambiance too. So if you're tailgating at night,
okay,
or if it's after the game, there you go. You got a dampened tailgate, doesn't slam down, so that's also good for tailgating, especially when you got the little kids running around.
Right.
And you've got the Rockford Fosgate system,
the
12-speaker system.
Pump up
so you
the
could
volume.
Be booming. Yeah, you could be booming as you're watching your big screen TV in the back.
Right. So, I mean, we walked up and I hadn't had anything to, and like no coffee, no breakfast or anything. And you know, immediately there was coffee. And so I totally get why, you know, the plugs are important, hot coffee. But then I also saw like waters, beer in the little Titan box. It doesn't look like the water's leaking through. So, like,
no.
If you want to drain it, like, is there a plug then that
you
pull
there's
and
a plug
drain?
To pull. It drains,
okay.
and it's watertight as well. So
okay.
It'll hold your ice in there. It works really well, actually. And it fits a lot of beverages in there.
It does.
It's like, a nice presentation.
It is a nice presentation. I actually took a picture. I've posted it out. So, by the way, if you're interested on any of the pictures that we're taking today, make sure you follow the hashtag American Titan or Titan Tailgate. And I've been, you know, taking some pictures of the trucks with some of the features. So, all of those are hashtagged. But radio, beer, coffee, food, TV. I mean, what else do you need when you're tailgating?
What else do you need? I don't think you need anything else except for a football game.
Exactly. Well, and so the other thing I want to point out is, so we drove down here in the Titan XD from Chicago, and I was with my husband, and he was actually able to drive, and I offered him the first shift of driving, because we started out at like 6 a.m., and it was early, and I hadn't had coffee, and I was tired. So he drove, and we stopped for coffee about 2 hours later, and I was like, okay, do you want me to take over? He's like, no. And so then we stopped like 2 hours after that. I'm like, okay, do you want me to like take over now? He's like, no. And so he literally drove for a full 8 hours in here. And I was like, so what'd you think? He's like, oh my God, this is so comfortable. And these have zero gravity seats, right?
Yeah. And so on and off the road, we've got it.
Right?
Yeah, we've got it.
I you know, I've been very impressed. And, you know, driving in Chicago is a little precarious. This is a big vehicle. But overall, like with the around-view cameras and the big side mirrors and the blind spot monitoring, it actually becomes a very accessible vehicle to drive.
It feels a lot smaller to drive than it actually is because of all the technology.
Yeah.
And things like a round view monitor, once you have that in a vehicle, you'll never want another vehicle without it.
No, no. And I mean, you still use the mirrors when you're backing up and everything, but the round view monitor helps with those tight corners. Like if you're driving through an alley or if you're making, you know, backing into a parking space, it just makes it that much easier.
Even if I'm going frontwards in a parking space, I won't do without the camera on. Well,
that's true. Cause I mean, you can, this is a big truck and I'm not going to lie, in Chicago, it takes up like more than one parking space. So I will pull into the parking space and I'm probably about a foot over the line at the back. So I always park at the back of the lot, but you know, I try to like turn on that around view camera so I can get as far forward as possible in case, you know, a Mini Cooper or something wants to park behind me. I don't know.
Just monster truck.
Just a monster. Yeah. So, but no, so we've really enjoyed our drive. And I'm definitely enjoying the hot and cold beverages out of the tailgate of the Titan today. And just want to thank you. This is a really cool experience, and it's a really cool opportunity to see the truck in action.
No, I really appreciate the time today.
Perfect. Well, there you go.
Go out and buy some Titans.
Go out and buy some Titans and root for the Titans, right?
Actually, yes.
All right. So, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, and finally on today's podcast, I didn't bring this out to Jill. I'm totally going to sabotage her on this, but
it's great.
But I do have to know, and you kind of brought it up, and I was going to bring it up anyways. But did you hit the target the first time with the axe? Because the video you showed was you were amazing with this axe, like full body throw. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm impressed by this. So walk us through this. So you have an axe range, like a gun range, but it's you have so many feet from the target. It's a big target, right?
It's a fairly big target.
It's like a Chicago pizza sized target, right? It's a big target.
Yeah. No, it's big. So you're, I don't know what, 20 feet back from the target, and you're not throwing what they like to call a BFA. A big effing axe, friendly axe.
We all got it.
You know, the big long with the long handle that you would chop wood with. It's more like a hatchet, maybe.
Right. Sure.
So it's like a short handle, and you basically what you do is you like put your hands over your head, and you kind of leave your wrists a little bit limp as you're getting ready to throw it, and then you kind of fling it over your head and release it when it's in front of your eyes. And I did not manage to make it stick the first time I threw it. It probably took me two or three times because what happens is the axe rotates. And if you don't release it at the right point, then it like basically flatheads against the target and drops to the floor. You have to release it at just the right point and, you know, with just the right stiffness of your wrist, whatever. So it took me a while to manage to get it to stick. And, but now I know how to get it to stick and, you know, I can throw an axe.
All right. So how badass does that make you feel?
It's pretty badass. It was really cool. And so I immediately, as we were leaving this place, it was called Battle Axe, B-A-T-L axe.
Sure.
And, So as I was leaving, I was immediately looking up. I'm like, oh my God, do they have this in Chicago? And they do. And Battle Axe is actually coming to Chicago. They're going to be forming a partnership with another organization that's already here. And I posted it on my Facebook page. I'm like, okay, who wants to go axe throwing? And there are a surprising number of like city people who want to go throw an axe.
Now, this is a total alcohol-free environment, right?
No, and that's what makes it even better is they're serving you beer while you're throwing an axe.
All right, that just sounds amazing. And I know I was teasing you because I can do that literally in my backyard. But with your buddies, there you go. There's your holiday party. Find some axes, get a garage, and get some beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Make sure you check us out on pickuptrucktalk.com. Email me at tim@pickuptrucktalk.com. Find us on Facebook on Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, on Twitter and Instagram at Pickup Truck Talk. And we'll see you down the road.